All right, it is 9:30, time for the Friday Night Hangout. This is where we grab a brew, shoot the breeze, and interact with you live on the internet, YouTube, Google+, Twitter, avoidingchores.com. The list is endless. Much like the panel, it is an endless panel. Good panel tonight. Should be lots of fun as we get settled in for the show. We're going to do a little bit of housekeeping. Just a reminder that if you are watching live, you can scrub through like a PVR. The replay will start about 10-15 minutes once we're done. And, of course, the replay will start, not the replay, the audio-only podcast version will publish sometime over the weekend so you can enjoy it in your commute to work on Monday. Let's start off with a round of intros here. Let's start off in Dartmouth here. We got Dan with us tonight. Good evening, Dan.
And as always, I like big butts, and I cannot lie.
A classic tune. When songs get the classic music treatment, such as Sir Mix-a-Lots, you know they've entered a realm. Let's flip over to Wallace, Nova Scotia. Keith Elliott Stone, how's it going? He's doing good. Still working on his audio issues. Hopefully we'll get Keith working here soon. Let's flip over to Sydney, Nova Scotia. We've got Carrie with us, fresh from his trip down in warmer climates. How's it going, Carrie?
Good evening, everybody.
All right. How does it feel to be warm, Carrie? What's that like? I miss that.
It was awesome. You should have been there. Amongst the mojitos and everything else.
Yeah, more of that.
One can dream. Flipping over to Halifax, we got Krista, bitesizedtravel.ca. How's it going, Krista?
I'm so sick.
Recovering from a cold or trying to survive a cold?
No, I'm still getting worse.
Oh, jeez.
I have the worst cold ever.
And let's flip over to the Valley. Lee, Hoogly's Beer and Booze Reviews on the YouTube. How's it going, Lee?
I've been better. I'm pissed off today, but now I'm just getting pissed. So.
Oh. Hopefully it's not the pre-show preamble.
No,
something else. All right, perfect. And, of course, I'm also in Halifax with you tonight. And we see that we have a number of people joining us, watching us. Thank you again for watching. Just a reminder, you can interact with us. You see here a little hashtag. If you're on the Twitter, you can send us a tweet or contribute to the hashtag. We'll read your comments in between a couple of topics. You can also comment on the YouTube, Google+, or on the avoidingchores.com show page. Let's start off the way we normally do, which is what we are drinking tonight. Let's start in reverse order. Lee, what are you drinking tonight?
Boxing Rock Temptation Red.
Ooh, nice.
It's been a while.
What's the percentage on that one?
It's only 5%, I think. Or 6%. Yeah, there we go.
All right, Krista, what are you drinking tonight?
I am drinking Garrison Irish Red.
All right.
Yummy.
Carrie, what are you drinking tonight?
I have a bottle of Crafty Jack.
Oh!
Yeah, you like that one, Carrie?
Nice, yep. It's up there with some of the other ales that I like. It's good.
Good.
So I guess the question is, what ales were you drinking down in the south? All cerveza?
No, Heineken.
Of course.
Heineken?
Yeah. Dutch Islands.
Oh, yeah. Where were you? Curacao?
Aruba.
Aruba. Oh, jeez, yeah. Nice.
Jamaica.
Grenada.
Oh, okay. let's switch over to Keith. What are you drinking tonight, Keith? No audio yet, but you can show the bottle. He's drinking Uncle Leo's...
Is that the Winterschlag?
Smoke Porter.
Oh.
Good choice. And Dan, what are you drinking tonight?
Right now, I've got the North Brewing Company, the Belgian Milk Stout, right there.
Did you finally drink your Fog Burner Supply?
There's an end to it? What are you talking about? Welcome to my vault.
All right, so I am drinking tonight. I kind of mistimed it here, but I finished off Beach Chair Lager from PI Brewing Company. And I'll be sipping slowly tonight at the latest Fortress Rum from Atlantic Sea Coast.
Where now? So how'd you come across that?
I went to the liquor store at select NSLCs, such as in Sydney.
Kelly's got his ready to go.
He got his ready to rock. And I'm just going to sip on this tonight. I'll mention halfway through the show, there are some tastings in the Halifax area that you can go and check out if you want to give it a sample, fortressrum.com. But I'm just going to let it sit in the glass here for a little bit and give you my thoughts on this rum.
Is your house one of the designated taste test centers?
No. But it is on.
Are you sure? Check your back door right now. There could be that bear that we keep on talking about. It might be coming in.
Well, I got to tell you, right off the bat, it's been sitting in the glass a little while, but I would say it's a very nice smelling rum. Like I like Appleton's, and I like maybe a couple others, but I'm not a huge drinker, but this has a very nice vanilla oak aroma to it. I actually quite like it a little bit. Anyway, I'll mention it.
That's pretty badass.
Tonight's straight. Yeah, just keeping it real. So.
Keeping it real, well, yeah.
Yeah, like I said, I'm not a big rum drinker, so I don't want to pull out a can of Coke and really insult, you know, people say, that's not how you drink it.
We'll see how real it gets after three or four glasses of that tonight before the night is over.
All right, well, let's start off with the first topic tonight so people can follow along on Avoiding Chores or on YouTube or Google+. We've got the topics there. You can click on the links and check things out. Let's deal with the reality if you're in the Halifax area or Nova Scotia in general. Halifax cannot deal with the snow and ice on sidewalks. It's been well over a week since our last snowstorm, a real significant snowstorm. We did get a few centimeters with rain. Created a very nice slush that froze over, so ideal skating rink material. And now, after weeks of complaints and news stories, the city is holding back on contractors' pay for inadequate service and all this other stuff. Looks like we got Keith there back on audio. Keith, are you with us? No, I thought I heard him. All right, anyway. Krista even put on her skates and skated down her street side. So
my sidewalk was perfect on Monday night for skating. So I put on my figure skates and skated back and forth quite a few times because in my head I'm like, well, the worst thing I'm going to do is break up the ice a bit. And every time I would go, because I live on a corner, so every time I would go to the corner and turn around and go back, I could see this guy about 50 meters away, like, stop and and then I'd like zip out again, and so he finally caught up with me, and he had just been to Tim Hortons. So I'm like, oh, like you have to take my picture. So that's where I got the picture from.
Okay, that's where you get it from.
The surface was. Sorry, Dan. The surface was. If you grew up in a place where you went skating on a pond, that's what the surface was like. It was a perfect pond skating ice surface.
Wow. So if I can do the reverse math, when did you do that again?
Monday.
And how long have you been sick?
Since Tuesday.
Hmm.
I know. I really don't think those things are related.
No, not at all. No.
But, you know, it's not just sidewalks, the roads. Geez, you know what? It's getting, two-lane roads are down to one lane. It's getting kind of treacherous.
Well, the road that I live on, half of it is a two-lane road reduced down to one lane, which is still doable. But the other half, it is literally, like, only SUVs with really good traction can actually make its way because the ice ruts are so huge. I can't see anyone driving any faster than 5 kilometers an hour.
No, I will say this: I live in a residential area, but on the weekdays, people usually shortcut through here to get over to Göttingen faster. Mm-hmm. And because the roads are so terrible, that has basically stopped. Because the street that they shortcut on right now has about a foot of ice and two big puddles that keep on thawing and refreezing. So you need like a 4x4 to get down the street right now. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
And I like how the media or, you know, the PR campaign of the officials are like, you know what, it is extraordinary circumstances. We get snow, it's cold, we might get a little bit of rain. If you look back to Environment Canada, there's a little thing called historical weather, and you can go through all the Februaries in the last few years. And you know what, we're pretty much on track with the same amount of precipitation and the same amount of rain events. You know, if you think back last year, there was a few snow rain events. The only thing that's different is that we've had an extraordinarily cold February. Normally, we would have at least half the month of February above zero, or zero or above, perfect melting weather. But we have not. We only have maybe 3 days in February. So, you know, that makes a big difference when, you know, your management plan for snow removal is to let it melt the next day, which never happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's what happens when you have a 36-hour standard, too. As far as the sidewalks go, we've had winters like this before. We've had them since I've lived in Halifax, but the difference was before 2 years ago, property owners were responsible for clearing their walks, and you'd have to do it within 12 hours or you'd get a ticket. And now, even 12 hours is a fairly long window, you know, unless it's like overnight. But now, in my neighborhood, it's 36 hours. So in 36 hours, we basically had two storms, which resulted in this mess that's here now.
Yeah, we got pretty big. We got pretty much pounded the last couple weeks, like really bad. So
yeah.
I mean, yeah, we might have the same amount of accumulation on record, pretty much from year to year, but we had it all within like a 2 week period or so instead of like spread out over the month, right? So it just built up, and the wind has been especially cold. Like you know, we have like a minus 12 temperature or something like that, not too out of reason for this time of the year, but then you have a wind chill of like minus 30, minus 40 in some places. And it's just been kind of constant for the last couple of weeks. It's just starting to clear up now, so.
Well, I mean, in Halifax, any road that gets any amount of vehicle traffic clears because the traffic eventually melts the snow and ice off of it, but sidewalks just don't get that volume of traffic. So when you leave it like 2 or 3 days and don't do anything to it, and there is not going to be enough energy generated by people walking over it to replicate the same effect that cars do on the streets.
Yeah.
It's like kind of a disaster.
But the biggest fun is people hunting around to find salt and sand for the last few days.
And rubbing alcohol. There's nary a bottle of rubbing alcohol to be found.
Are people actually doing this? I've seen this. You take a milk jug. Is it the milk jug? You put six drops of soap and then...
You don't need the soap. It's like junior high science that you're pulling on your driveway, basically.
Carrie, what do you do? What do you use up in Sydney? Beet juice or molasses to melt the snow, ice?
No, we're still using the same thing everybody else is using: salt from an island that I visited in the Caribbean called Bonaire.
I just got to mention this, and this one guy I worked with, he's kind of slow. One year he. Instead of buying regular safety salt, you know, just because it doesn't register with his head, he saw some of that salt you put in to purify your water. He bought a bag of that instead, and he was kind of miffed. Like, these, when he opened it up, these pieces are too big. I got to do something about that. So he basically bashed up a whole bag of that with a hammer and spread it on his driveway. Mm-hmm. Then he complained that it didn't work too well as far as making his driveway clean.
I was actually wondering if water conditioner salt would work a little better than just regular rock salt.
Well, I was listening.
There's something else in it. I don't know what it is, though. I think it's like potassium chlorides in it as well or something like that.
Well, isn't that what they spray on the roads, the brine?
Brian only works if there's nothing on the road. No, Brian is just like salt. It's just like salt water.
Yeah.
Oh. Anyway, hey, let's do a quick check of comments here. Hopefully people will tell us their snow sidewalk stories either on Twitter, YouTube, Google+, Twitter. Did I mention Twitter again? Twitter seems to be happening tonight, but we'll get the chance for everybody to refresh their screens. We'll start with Krista, who's been monitoring the Twitter. Do we have anything crazy in Twitter?
Our friend Michelle has pointed out that Keith will be participating through charades and interpretive dance tonight, which is, I think, brings a little bit of culture to the hangout.
Entertain us!
And our friend Taryn is joining us, sitting in bed, drinking a beer, living the dream, as she tells me.
Living the dream. Or I wonder if people are just finishing their binge watching of House of Cards season 3 now.
I took a break in my binge watching to join you fellas.
Oh.
And I kept on texting a friend of mine really banal Mad Men-esque spoilers. So I'd be like, things transpire. Someone gets a Windows phone. There's a meeting.
All right, let's move on to avoidingchores.com. Lee, do you have that? Or?
Yeah, I have it, but there's nothing on it.
What?
There's only your comment about fixing a broken link.
Oh, I thought Bluefin would be on there since he's not joining us in the panel tonight. Oh.
No, apparently don't like us anymore. That's terrible.
Or he's still in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah, that could be a possibility.
That could be it too. Dan, do we got on the YouTube?
Yeah, we got a couple comments. We got from Sean Jowdry. Crappy sidewalk conditions is also an economic issue for the downtown core. It makes people less likely to venture down to Spring Gardens / Barrington and instead stick to the malls.
I agree with that, Sean. That's a very astute observation.
Yeah.
I know I am barely venturing outside of my house. I walk to the bus stop, I take the bus to work, I go to work, I come home.
Because you used to walk down from your house to work, right?
Yeah, I haven't walked to work in more than a month now. And I got to be honest, it's making me squirrely. So I'm like a Labrador. I need to be run.
Or skated. Also, we have one from GC Storm 1. Hello, all. Big crew on tonight. I'm drinking a Propeller Nocturne Dark Lager.
Ooh, from the cellar.
Yeah, from the cellar. So that's what we got on YouTube tonight so far.
All right. Good stuff there. We've got a number of people watching there. Hey, if you want to comment, folks, use the hashtag or through the various platforms that we're monitoring it. We can join in the conversation. Let's move on to the next topic, which is another Halifax story here, which is last night it was the public meeting on the Halifax light rail commuter train eventuality, maybe, feasibility study. I was unable to go, but I did hear from the missus who was in the area that there were a lot of people there. So you can go online. I think I put the link here in the show notes that you could read the presentation and the routes and the stops and all that stuff. For me, being out in the not quite in the downtown core, I kind of like that
You're the target demographic for it.
Yeah.
Assuming that you can get to where you need to on it.
Well, you know, I was telling this to the missus there. I'll need two things. One, I need to go to work. But also times a year like summer or whatever where I need to go down for events such as a beer fest or some other thing where I just, or, you know, people are in town, you want to take them out or whatever and you want to jump on the commuter train on the weekend, you know, nice easy way in, get to see, you know, it is kind of scenic route. You go through the, you know, the CN route and see all the houses, the old end of Halifax.
Yeah, like I've come in on the VN before. It is a nice route. I would wonder, and I don't know how, you'd have to put a little money into surveying this. How many people who live here have actually ever been on a train? Because I would wager that the numbers are pretty low.
You know what? I'd be interested too. All right, well, let's do a quick survey here on the panel. Who has not been on a train?
Now, when you say train, are you talking about like a subway or just a general rail?
Any kind of roller coaster.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Nope.
You haven't, or you?
No, I've never been on a train.
Never been on a train. Okay, so everybody else here has been on train, subway, via,
yep.
Freight. All right.
Freight.
I was on a little kiddie ride train once at a
Did it whet your appetite to become a train commuter?
Not really.
I love
train travel. I travel on the train whenever I'm abroad. Mm.
Yep.
In Canada, it's a bit much because it's so slow here. But you know, I've been to lots of other places, and the train is the shiz.
Every time I've ever had to use Via Rail, being an Ontario in. It's always been a good experience for myself. You do have to do a little bit of planning. It's not something you can do off the cuff, but especially for military members, there's lots of benefits for rail travel there.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah, no, I've done the express from Ottawa to Montreal a number of times. Just do day trips.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Into Montreal, then you walk over to Old Montreal. You do a day there. You jump on the train. You're back. I've done the commuter. The commuter train. Well, when we moved to Montreal, so definitely used it when we're in the process of moving. So I was driving from Ottawa to the outskirts of the rail system, so I can get another hour of sleep while the train rolled into downtown and all that. So
I've done lots of Kingston to Toronto.
Yeah, so there's lots of, I think, look at those types of systems. Yeah, it would kind of make sense that some variation, not maybe a full network like in the bigger cities, but something basic could potentially work, but it's going to cost a crap load of money to set up because you're going to need proper transit connections to get you off these stations to get you where you want to go.
Now, what size of ridership are they estimating employing such a system?
Well, the estimates vary pretty broadly, and the low was about 1,600,
yep.
And the high was about 4,300. I think it was somewhere in that area.
That's a pretty wide swing, especially the 1,600 as well. You can't sustain that for sure.
No, that one's a tough one. It's that one's going to be tough. I mean, the numbers are so speculative, right? Because you're basically introducing a new service that no one's ever really used here. Like, it's been several generations since we've even had trams and trolleys here. Mm. So the behavioral change part when it comes to transit use is challenging, but it can happen. Like, I'd like to be optimistic about it, but I mean, I think the cost is probably going to. The estimates are going to, up a little.
As long as they don't, have the ad campaign being, it's like the ferry, but on rails. Because that probably won't go over very well.
let's check Keith if he managed to get some audio working.
Can you hear me now?
Yes!
Yay!
Verizon, thank you.
All right. So, Keith, are you going to be taking the train from Truro down to Halifax? Halifax commuter train or what? No, you're not a train guy?
Probably not. I mean, rurally trains aren't really a viable option. So.
And up in Sydney, Kerry, nothing.
We don't have a train anymore. It stopped rolling. Even the freight don't stop here anymore.
Yeah, because they were going to shut down the section of rail there. Couple months ago. There's a freight line, I forget the name of it there, but cost too much to. But you know what? It's one of these pieces of infrastructure that, needs a lot of money, right? So anyway.
How many trains would they think about bringing in as well, like for the ridership? Because the frequency of the trains.
Yeah.
They said.
They were pretty light on those details in the PowerPoint that I looked at about it.
This is a kind of big deal.
Yeah, I saw 30 minutes. On peak and then 60 minutes on non-peak hours. So considering where the starting line, like where the line starts and stops, where it's around maybe 40 minutes, the furthest into the Via station in Halifax,
So that's basically the frequency that buses run at now.
Mm. So it would be a couple sets, like at least four.
But then you got to
there's sections where there's double track, so you could do those types of switching, but there's certain segments that it's a single track, so there's going to have to be some building of new sections to deal with trains, you know.
Well, they'd also have to upgrade because the rails are rated for fairly low speeds into the city and in the roundabout.
Yeah, they would definitely need to roll faster than 40 kilometers an hour.
Oh, yeah, I'm not even sure it's that fast in some parts.
That's why it takes 6 hours to go from Halifax to Montreal, Moncton.
Yeah.
I was going to say Montreal. Geez, that's awesome.
If it was 6 hours, I'd be on that all the time.
I will say this. I've taken the overnight train in Spain a couple of times now, and the first time it was like an 800-kilometer trip, and the second time it was, I think, like closer to 900 or 1,000 kilometers, and it was still done in about 8 hours. And those are on slow trains.
I say that they should just implement my Segway plan, where you know they give every taxpayer a Segway, and you can traverse the city that way. it's the future.
Lee, up in the valley, they used to have quite a bit of major track line that used to go.
Train used to go right through Kingston, which is just north of Greenwood. Yeah. But that's been gone a long time now.
That's going to be That's going to be trail. That's being converted to a trail.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on to the next topic because might as well continue with the gloom and doom of Nova Scotia. A little press release today that the tourism department will be closing two visitor centers this coming year, Pictou and Digby. And seven provincial parks will be switched over to self-serve. In the press release, they said self-serve, but they really should be saying self-registration, much like most of the parks. A lot of Parks Canada sites do this, so it's nothing necessarily new. But self-serve makes you think that there's going to be absolutely nobody in the parks, but there's going to be staff there. So. Now, when it comes down to the parks, I thought I had the list here in the link, but a couple of the ones from Halifax, Lori, Porter's Lake, are the two that are going to switch over. Now, the reason why these parks were targeted because they cost more to operate than people they bring in, i.e. occupancy. We have Smiley's Provincial Park, which is surprising because they do a lot of events at the park during the year if you look at their park brochures. But then you got small parks, which is just spits of land that people die and they bequeath it to the province, and then they're like, I don't know what to do. This we're going to do. Park. Put some picnic tables on it. So the Islands in Shelburne, Bolston, and Salzman kind of fall into that category. And Waikakama is also going to go, which is kind of surprising. They did quite a bit of work with development that, and they put in the yurts and all that stuff. So I'm kind of surprised about Waikakama there. But anyway, working with parks on a few projects a number of years ago, these plans to move away from money-losing parks or properties, they use picnics, whatever. It's been talked about for years. It's just now, you know, they're pulling the trigger while we're all distracted with nurses and unions. They're gonna start, you know, trimming the fat and stuff. That was my preamble. What do you guys think about that? You guys been going to the visitor center in Digby or Pictou?
Nope. No, to be honest.
When was the last?
Don't really have to use it.
Is there a visitor center that you stop by? Like, we use the one at the Lines at New Brunswick just because the bathrooms.
Yeah. Bathrooms, sure. But, I mean, other than that, unfortunately for them, you know, you can look on your phone for everything you need.
Well, and that was actually referenced in the press release as one of the ways that the information-giving aspect will be compensated, because that is very common now. And particularly for travelers to our province from other countries, they just are very used to accessing information on their phone, like the ways that we might be used to accessing and receiving tourist information here is still like very traditional compared to a lot of places.
Mm. But I imagine, like, you know, the fact that the VICs now have, you know, Wi-Fi, you know, is it going to turn into, you know, visitors stop in just to take out their tablets, get on the Wi-Fi, and then do what they need to do, right? You know.
I mean, if they want to make a little bit of money off of it, they could create charging stations for said iPads and, you know, make a nominal fee off that.
No, you can't do that. You can't charge people for charging. Oh,
you can do whatever you want. What are you talking
bold.
About?
It's bold.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Okay, you can charge people for using clean power.
There you go. Just charge them, and it's like, well, it's either that or it's a long way back to Japan there, yeah. Mr. Musaka.
You can get their free dirty energy to charge your iPhone from coal plants, but over here, it's powered by the flapping wings of butterflies.
What you could do is set up a bicycle.
Free self-charging gerbil wheel.
Yeah, exactly.
like a bicycle or a gerbil wheel with a USB port in it, and you just plug in your phone and just...
Exactly, yeah.
Run faster if you want to get that weather report.
That's right. Clean energy charging stations.
If you want to upload a picture, you're going to have to run faster than that.
That's right.
And that gerbil was fed with all organic, non-GMO food.
And it tasted right. Delicious.
Yeah. Yum.
All right, let's do what we're drinking tonight. And just a reminder, folks, if you want to comment, you can participate via the hashtag, Twitter, YouTube, Google+, WoodenChores.com. We'll check that in a moment. A chance for people to refresh. Dan, what are you drinking tonight?
I'm still working on that, Belgian milk stout. But don't you worry, Internet. It's coming.
Coming real soon.
Yes. So, as I've always said with almost every episode we've done in the past 2 months, so, Garrison, when's it going to happen? You know what I'm talking about. I know you watch. You know what I'm talking about. So, make it happen. Mm.
I think it might happen faster if we all buy ourselves a bottle and do it.
I've got
all,
four upstairs right
episode.
Now. I've got
I'd love to
four
be able to
upstairs.
Buy one.
I'm willing to donate. To the just, group.
Just a hint to Garrison. I'd love to be able to buy one. You send him to my NSLC. I'd buy them all out before anyone else got them.
I'm too sick to fight. You guys pick me up one somewhere.
All right. We'll definitely have to do it before they run out on the shelf. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's move on. Keith, what are you drinking tonight?
I'm drinking Uncle Leo's Smoke Porter, a 13-month-old bottle.
All right. Nice. Now, how does it taste after a year?
The smoke isn't as smoky. But yeah. it's still good. It's not
sounds
a bad
like
thing,
a,
actually.
Sounds like an upside to me.
Yeah.
I write down a bit, and I like it better in a way. So.
Excellent. Carrie, what are you drinking?
Unobtainium.
No, it's not.
That's a crafty jack.
It's a crafty jack.
So how do you like it? I know you like a little bit more malty beers there, but how do you like that one?
It's a little bit light, but it's nice. It reminds me of drinking beer when I was in England in the mess for about 6 hours straight. Yeah, it's pretty good.
All right.
It's a good beer for that.
Yeah. Krista, what are you drinking tonight?
Still finishing up my red, but then I'm going to move to my Hop Yard Pale because I have to take it easy tonight on account of all of the various drugs that are working their way through my body.
Mm.
Responsible.
I would just use the alcohol to kill your cold.
Yeah, well, I was going to have whiskey, and I thought...
And beer.
Yeah, I was going to have some whiskey tonight, and I thought, oh, that could take a dark turn.
All right, Lee, what are you drinking tonight?
I am still drinking the Temptation Red from Boxing Rock.
Ooh. Taking it easy tonight.
Love that Temptation Red.
Nice. Well, I am still, as you can see there, I'm slowly working my way through my first little glass of Fortress Rum from Authentic Seacoast.
How do you like that?
Well, you know what, like I said earlier, I really like the aroma. nice vanilla, oak, spicy kind of notes there. I find that you have to let it sit for a while, and it's really smooth when you drink it. It's not that taste when you have some of the rum there, not as harsh. So it's not bad at all. Like, I actually quite like it. I'm not like I said earlier, not a rum connoisseur, but it's not bad.
Well, how much did you pay for it, Jim, if you don't mind?
That was $39.99, I think.
That's a $7.50, right?
Yep, $7.50.
It's pretty damn expensive for rum around here. You can get really high quality rum, same size bottle, in the NSLC for half that price.
And I'm wondering whether or not the volume, you know, like what their batch run is for this kind of stuff.
Oh, aren't they owned by Authentic Seacoast?
They're part of that group.
So that's a tourist focused group that's forced on selling stuff to tourists and things like that. So it sounds like the price might be a bit more steep for that reason to me. I'm just speculating.
Yeah.
But
I really don't know. Like, I don't shop a lot for rum, so I really kind of lost what would be. This was indeed in the premium rum section.
Because I see they say they do it by the French method, where they only age it for like 4 or 5 months before they release it.
So what happened, they do it like they did back 300 years ago when Louisbourg was actually a busy port behind Philly and Boston. So they would get this Caribbean rum, put it in the barrels, and then when they bring it up to Louisbourg, they store it in a fortress over winter or whatever, the cold, salt air, some character.
That's a great story.
Oh, it is. It's a fantastic story. So, you know, maybe it does. The damp, cold, damp, because, you know, Carrie knows about Louisbourg. It's always cold up there.
Always. Even in the middle of August, it's cold.
Yes.
Ugh. So maybe that does affect, and I don't know who produced it or, you know, what they're doing different, you know, if this is spiced anything different or anything like that. But anyway, I don't know. I tell you, it's been a while since people were talking here around the office, Fortress Rum, and they're not necessarily, you know, drinkers or, you know, this marketing campaign or these stories just got people's attention on Fortress Rum.
Yeah, he has a nice hook for it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think this one here works a lot better than the Sea Fever.
Yeah,
it does.
Products.
I've got this one here. This is Dominican rum.
Mm-hmm.
It's an aged rum, but I'm going to say something. It tastes really good.
Okay.
The Porter's rum, it's an overproof rum, so you get that extra little bite on it. That's what I find about it. And I've had several Caribbean rums, and I think it's the weather that makes their rum age a little bit better in the barrels. But it's just that uniqueness for the Fortress rum is just something that where they're going to get that that sell for the for that rum.
Mm.
I do like it though; it still is tasty.
Yeah, no, like I said, like, I think it's good. I'm drinking it straight, you know, neat or straight, whatever you call it there. So.
Yeah, I drink rum straight. I'm going to have to try it.
You're a pirate, then.
Yeah. Just a reminder, so if you are in the Halifax area and you do want to sample it before you buy, because it is a pricey bottle, they had some tastings tonight over in Sydney and in Dartmouth, but tomorrow from 4 to 7, you can go to Rockhead Wine and Beer Market at the corner of Windsor and Almond Street. The Sobeys, brand new beer location. Used to be the old Premier Wine and Spirits. They moved and changed names. You can try that there. 4 to 8, you can try it at the Brereton Street NSLC in downtown. And from 12 to 4, afternoon sampling, you can go to the Mill Cove NSLC out here in Bedford to give that a try. So. All right, what do we got for comments?
We had a very enthusiastic response to my informal poll that I put out there about whether people had been on a train. And we got lots of great comments. Trudy out in Vancouver loves big rail and commuter. Alana in Italy and in subways. Jocelyn, he's been all over the place because he's a very well-traveled dude. Wei Mason, he did the Halifax to Toronto run and used to go back and forth to Truro when he was doing his teaching certification. Rima Zakanya, Montreal, Toronto, and then all over the place. Sue from here in Halifax used to take the train back and forth to Cape Breton on long weekends when she was in university. Colin has done the Halifax to Montreal route and then Vancouver to Whistler. And Michelle had a very, I don't know, not family-friendly recollection of some family history that occurred on a train. It's a charm. But yeah, so our very selective group of people who follow me on Twitter and also know what the hangout is are very well traveled on the train and easily disproved my theory from earlier.
And don't forget hobos. We have to include hobos in the group.
Especially, I do include hobos.
Yeah. Especially those freight trains. Right, Jim?
Yes. Yeah. Hey, there was a documentary on, was it Vice? One of those? Talking about the... There's still hobos in the States. You know, there's this pack of them, right? That just travel around. And
absolutely.
A couple years ago. I can't remember what the title was. Let's see. Lee, anything on the avoidingchores.com website?
No.
Any comments? That's too bad.
Still that Jim Sear guy. That's the only guy who made a comment tonight.
Outrageous. How dare he?
That guy.
That guy. Worthy.
Look at his hat. This is Avatar. Whatever. And Dan, we got anything on the YouTube?
Yeah, a couple more on the YouTube. More from GC Storm 1 and Sean Jodry. GC Storm 1, or sorry, Sean Jodry. The commuter train plan sounds like another Nova Scotian boondoggle waiting to happen. Makes me wonder if investing more money in Halifax transit operations would be a better use of money. And also, Jim nails it regarding budget cuts hidden behind the nurses' NSGU drama. Expect to see more of the same when the budget, if tabled, is tabled. Sloppy budget cuts masked by the health sector reorganization saga.
It's going to be a mess. This spring is going to be a mess.
I'm just going to say those two comments are incredibly highbrow for us riffraff. But yes, absolutely.
Not all of us are riffraff, Dan.
There's our riffraff.
I appreciate when they dumb it down a little for us.
But both points are really valid.
PT
Storm 1 also says, what happened to Keith's beard? I would say it may have something to do with the mystery tunnel in Toronto. Right, Keith?
It's called a segue, Jim.
My beard had enough, and it went to Cuba for a week.
Okay.
Look for a much more tanned beard next week.
Is that what you call a gray beard?
You just wait and see. You just drink your drink.
What do you mean, wait and see? I got gray eyebrows. I mean, come on. The end is nigh.
So Dan prepped the segue here, and which is the secret tunnel in Toronto. Man, everybody was going crazy about this.
Dum dum
dum. It's so weird.
Like, look at this. Like, somebody just stumbled across. Some guard stumbled across this tunnel. Look, goes down.
Not weird. Awesome.
That's a hell of a lot of work.
Like, awesome. That is quite an operation. A lot of wood.
Does anyone remember that special that was on TV quite a few years ago with Geraldo Rivera trying to find the gold of Al Capone in his vault?
Yes, his vault.
Okay, so I'm not super up to date on this one. Is it connected to anything, or is it just a random space?
Nobody knows. Like, look at this mountain of dirt. Who doesn't notice that in Toronto?
It's extensive. Extensive.
Looks like either a survivalist militia kind of thing, or maybe a secret lair for a supervillain just in the early stages.
Drugs.
Power Rangers.
Drugs.
Power Rangers.
Power Rangers.
Could be more locks.
But definitely more locks. Yep.
It's a Diefen bunker, but for the modern age, so it's like a Harper bunker.
Didn't some people speculate that it was maybe like a sort of a jihadist kind of thing to like try to get some.
Well, I think it's always going to be like some crazy white person that's going to speculate as jihadist these days.
Yeah.
Clearly, this is the act of terrorists.
Yeah, calm down. I know, like, now that Sun TV is gone, you've lost your...
Whoa, come on.
They were fair and balanced and impartial in every way.
Yeah.
They entertained and informed up to 5,000 people a day.
Yeah, that's because they weren't on the mandatory carry on cable.
Oh, yeah, they were bullied.
That's because they didn't have a TV version of Page 3. That's why they got canceled.
Yeah.
You know, we can go into it here, but they, a number of Sun TV personalities, Ezra and all that, they have a new website, therebel.media.
The Rebel, whatever. They're doing a Kickstarter.
Are we looking at another Drudge Report? Is that what that is?
I think it's more like the Blaze. When
The Blaze, like Tucker Carlson's, like
no, it's not Tucker. It's Glenn Beck's.
That makes it better.
Yeah, that makes it worse.
Oh no, not Tucker. No, Beck.
That's not a barker of quality.
The Rebel,
so,
I think,
so
it's gonna
Glenn
be.
Glenn Beck has kind of like come around a little. He's like left the full, like super intense. Oh, wait, am I on the right or left? I'm on the right. I think he's kind of like stepping back a bit from like his super intense.
No! He's full on crazy now.
He's saying that he's sane.
Not so much crazy as he's putting on an act of crazy to make more money. Because that guy pulls like $250 million or something like that. Like he's pretty rich right now. He's selling a lot of fear and paranoia to people.
Yeah, you know why? Because business is good for that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So with that crazy press conference, which I didn't see, from the Toronto Police, don't know who was digging the hole.
I like the fact that the article relating to this says, definitely not the work of Molman. If I ever wanted to cover up something, I would say, definitely not the work of Molman, which tells me it's the work of Molman.
Definitely the work of Molman.
Or it could have been a serial killer, too. Could have been
that are mole men. Everyone knows serial killers are all mole men.
That may be indeed a confirmed fact.
I think you guys are way overthinking this.
No.
Somebody said Rob Ford was trying to fulfill his promise of expanding the subways in Toronto.
Oh, we found his crack den.
Whoa. His crack den.
His crack den has been discovered.
This isn't related,
he
but you
wouldn't have dug
it up
that deep, I'm sorry.
This is only vaguely related, but you did bring up Rob Ford. Has anyone seen his eBay auctions?
No.
He's starting to like auction off his shit from when he was like.
He had ties and jerseys and
Yeah.
Partially used City Hall.
Partially used football tie. Very famous.
Is he eBaying off any like mystery packages or anything? Like, here's some shit I found in my glove box.
Yeah.
Set it on fire. Who knows what will happen?
Off that car when he tried to take off with the kids to Florida on Christmas that time.
Oh yeah, that wasn't he drunk that time?
How much can you get for your dignity on eBay nowadays? What's it going rate?
Well, I think somebody sold their virginity for $250,000. So I don't know if that's your baseline or I don't know if that's your ceiling or your threshold. Or ceiling or your floor.
Hey, let's move on to the next topic, which is another show and tell. This is awesome. Now I am
done with this.
You're done with this?
I don't get it.
Stupid.
All right. So let's start. What color is the dress?
White and gold.
White and gold.
You people are idiots. It's
okay. Now wait, Kristen. Hang on. Easy. all right. So Like everybody, I woke up early this morning, you know, because I'm up at, you know, early. I had missed all the shenanigans that happened last night. So I go through the threads, and I see this picture, and I see it as white and gold. So this afternoon, all these articles are starting to get posted about, you know, what's going on, why people are seeing this as white and gold or black and blue. Now, this is the other half, right? So I'm scrolling down this image.
Wait, so before we get too far into this, we can all agree that this is hot nonsense, right?
Yep.
I didn't even click any links. I saw something about it, and I was like, no. I'm not even clicking that shit.
It could be orange and purple.
Well, here's the fun stuff. So people were talking about optical illusions and stuff, and then it's like, oh, where is it? Is this the right one? Where is it? There was another picture.
Here. Nashville had one up of both.
There we go. Here's the Vice. I pasted the wrong one. Okay. All right, so this was the picture. It's still white and gold for everybody, or for most? All right, so then they showed women. They posted another picture with the person wearing it. So what color is the dress in this picture, guys?
White.
No, the one on the left.
I refuse to even comment on this. This is ridiculous.
Debunk!
Well, when I scrolled down to see this picture, I saw this as blue and black, right?
That's what color it is.
Yeah, but then this is where my mind got blown. Then I scroll back up, and all of a sudden, this is blue and black.
Yep. Last night I saw it. It was white and gold. I went to bed. It was blue and black. I got up this morning. It was white and gold. It's been back and forth for me all day.
Your brain are defrauding you.
That's the point. That's exactly the thing here.
It was taken in low light.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, other than the fact that this is a completely stupid thing for everybody on the internet to be upset about.
Well, I'm not necessarily upset. I'm just really really interested how this became an awesome visual distraction.
But you know what part of it is? A lot of people now are too young to remember when you went to the pharmacy, you got your 24 pictures developed, and about half of them you had to throw away because the dog looked purple and the Christmas tree looked orange. And
they were overexposed.
Overexposed or bad light, or yeah.
Like, the picture's a little overexposed. Like, it's all terrible anyway.
Yeah. So this great post here on Slate explains it. Like, for example, are the dots going left to right or up and down?
Asking drinking people.
This is the only answer to all those questions.
No,
that answers nothing.
Yeah, no, but then they get into the whole, you know, how our brain interprets and how older people interpret blues differently or are not receptive to blues and all this stuff.
I see blues just fine.
But, okay, so we see gold and white on the left and blue and black on the right.
It's not just what you see, it's what you hear too. Google McGurk effect later and see what you find.
Yeah, this is a good. I love this. Is the best image. It's a cat and a rabbit, or a duck, or a bird.
I like that.
Yeah.
All of these little visual tricks are so much more entertaining than this stupid, shitty picture of a dress.
Hear, hear.
I just found it that picture of the dress just screwed up the internet for a night. And
oh, I know. It's still trending. It is. I'm looking at the Canadian trending topics, and it is. Well, it was three of them earlier. Now it's still two of the top trending topics in Canada. Stop talking about this.
All right. Well, okay. Let's move on to the next one then. This one of your stories. Two eerie lights are shining from this dwarf planet, and no one knows.
Yeah, that's crazy. Though I had formulated a theory, and then I read the rest of the article, and my theory was confirmed, so...
Krista, all right. What color are they?
It's hard to tell, because they're like super far away, and they're looking at them... We're looking at them, they're already far away, and we're looking at them with a device that is also very far away. It's just bad news all around.
It's a Death Star.
Mm. I think it's more... No, it's volcano. It's a volcano. That's my bet.
Aliens.
It's not aliens.
On a side note, I just recently discovered that the Earth actually has two moons. Does everyone know that?
What?
The Earth has two moons. We have the one that we all... No, we had the one that we all know of, the one that we call the moon. But apparently they discovered one, they call it a horseshoe orbit. So as we orbit the sun, it's kind of orbiting around us as we go around the sun. So it takes an actual 800 years to do a complete orbit around us, but it is still a satellite attached to our own orbit through a horseshoe pattern. So we actually have two moons.
I don't know about that.
It's called science.
I am a woman of science. That sounds implausible.
I've never heard of that.
Here, I'll just do the good old fashioned Sherry Screeny thingy doodad.
Well, as Dan does that, I just saw a couple Twitter messages come through here.
Could Earth's other moon reveal the solar system's secrets?
Wait a minute. Are you looking at the Daily Mail?
No, but it is that one, but I didn't originally see it from
No, veto.
No, no, no. I got it from another one before.
Veto.
Fine. I'll get it here. Jeez.
I want Neil deGrasse Tyson to confirm it. That's when I'll believe it.
So just reading a tweet here that I missed. Said Billard Architecture says here, listening to you all and reminiscing on my gone maritime accent while sitting on the deck in Vancouver.
Yeah, Trudy just said it was getting chilly, that she went to get a sweater.
So, yeah. Joan Helson was saying here, but the real question is, what shoes goes best with those color options? I'd say gold.
Gold flip-flops, yep.
Black and yellow, mm-hmm. Black and yellow, black and yellow.
Nobody should be taking fashion advice from this hangout.
Alright, well, okay, let's flip over to some comments here. So, people, if you're on Twitter, Friday Night Hangouts, or to one of our accounts that you see here on the lower third, YouTube, Google+, and, of course, avoidingchores.com. Lee, anything?
No, but the comments could be all written in white text, so maybe I'm not seeing them.
Are the comments in black and blue, or the comments in blue? I can't even tell you how much I hate this.
Well, what about Twitter comments? Krista, do we have anything new lately?
No, just...
Take out all the ones about the dress.
Trudy is sorry, not sorry, about the fine weather they are enjoying in Vancouver.
It's terrible.
Yeah. And Krista Elliott and I are going to have a Highlander-esque battle one day, as apparently there can only be one Krista.
So.
I disagree. I think it's important to have more Krista's, but there we go.
Just need to find a building in Halifax with old-fashioned like light sign.
Yeah. I don't know what that means, but...
Have you watched Highlander lately?
No, I don't watch that. I watch Empire and, like, House of Cards. That's it. Only topics.
Dan, what have we got on YouTube?
So we got some more comments here on YouTube. Let's go. We got GC Storm 1 saying, my most interesting train story was riding the subway in Paris. My youngest daughter lost a flip-flop down between the deck and the train.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Jason Spear says, hi, everyone. Tremendously late tonight, having a rare bird full steam stout. Oh. Only because it was given to me. Lol.
Yeah, I hope that was the reason.
Oh. Yeah. And also Arthur Donald took up my warning about join us or else, and he said, else please.
Oh. We're going to make you look at that stupid dress picture.
That's right.
Until you agree, it's stupid. Yeah.
So that's what we got for the YouTubes.
All right. Sounds good. It is time for a round of Cards Against Humanity, folks.
Oh, before we do that.
Oh.
More stupid products. I need a stupid product song. Stupid products. Stupid products. Special food edition. So, scouring the internet, I've come across quite a few items of food, which are pretty stupid products on their own. So let me first start off with a this brand of tea called Placenta.
Ah!
Placenta tea.
Oh, no.
Hard pass.
Oh, okay.
Hard pass.
Well, if you don't like that one, then they've got some nice flaky pastries here. I don't know how you pronounce it. If anyone could try and pronounce that for me.
Juicy Pussy.
Is that how it's pronounced? I was like Juicy Pussy. I don't know. So we got that. What else we got here? So much. Oh, this one. This is a nice flavor of gum that you can get.
It's just extra actual sour. Products.
Well, maybe they're sour.
They're liquid filled. That is disgusting.
Extra sour.
Another gum that we found.
Oh, I've seen that one before.
Eight pieces of kiss my ass attitude.
God damn, no.
Yeah, so awesome gum. One more food one. It's not really a bad product, but they should have thought about shaping when they designed it.
Oh, no. No.
And it is festive.
All I can say is ho, ho, ho. And last one isn't a food item, stupid product, but this is to commemorate the passing of a legend today, Leonard Nimoy. We lost him, and one product, especially for him, was the official Star Trek helmet that, of course, he wore in all episodes of Star Trek.
Yeah, like he usually did. Yeah, I'd never seen him without it. You know.
Yeah, because of course he always announced his name. With it written on his helmet with a big siren at the top of it. So, we miss you, Leonard Nimoy.
That kid must have been beaten up every day.
Live long and prosper.
Yeah, or may the force be with you, Leonard Nimoy. That's right, right?
Yeah. I bet you that was not officially sanctioned by Star Trek.
Probably not.
I don't think so.
Stupid products. You're welcome.
This is my new favorite feature. Stupid products.
Yes. You have to add it to remind me.
Jim, you have to start adding it, you know?
Well, no, Dan doesn't comment that he's going to be doing it, so
I always do it. I've been doing it for how many weeks?
Okay, this far in the show, and like we have beer, fog burner, rum. I can't remember. That's okay. All right, we'll add it for next time.
Don't blame the beer.
In the room tonight. Cards Against Humanity, folks, you can play along with us. Grab 10 of the white cards and lay them out. And people who have the actual card decks or the printout will be able to pull out a black card. And we'll do a round of that. If you're watching along, you happen to have the PDF or a deck of cards, you can tweet your answer using the hashtag on Twitter, Friday Night Hangout. So we got everybody all set up here. So
give us a page for the online there.
Oh, page online would be 7.
7, all right.
So if you have the PDF, you can go to page 7. All right, everybody's all ready?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yep. Let's start with Dan. Can you pick black?
Actually, this one's going to be a nice tricky one for those that have never done this one. This is a three-parter.
Yeah.
Oh, three-parter.
So you need three cards for this one.
All right.
And it's called Make a Haiku.
So we
need a three-carder to do a haiku. So a haiku, for those who know it, is a Japanese-style poem where it's typically you go by syllables, but we're not caring about syllables. We're just calling about three different lines.
Good, because I was not going to try to count out, 5, 7, 5?
Yeah. Skip the syllables, just three different cards.
Mm.
And then you can read your haiku aloud.
All right. I already enjoy this.
All right, so anyone want to go first?
Sure, I will.
All
right. Okay, what you got?
An evil man in evil clothes. Chainsaws for hands. Fiery poops.
All right. Lee, what do you got?
Judge Judy.
Yes.
Mr. Clean, right behind you. Surprise sex.
That's a good one. Carrie, what do you got?
I have, how does that go? 537 or 735?
Yeah, something like that. You have to count the syllables.
Yeah, don't worry about that.
Sean Connery. A bucket of fish heads. Farting and walking away.
Keith.
The true meaning of Christmas. Getting really high. And inserting a mason jar into my ass. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Oh, holy night.
All right. So I got seeing Grandma naked. The rapture. Horrifying laser hair removal accidents. All of which don't make no sense.
But if they all happened at once, that might be bad.
Yep. Yeah, that might be. All right. So for those, so now refresh. Pull out three cards from the deck from your white cards to replenish, so that you get 10 cards. So we can continue on with the next round here. And who else has the deck or PDF? The printouts. Keith, what do you got? Do you have the printouts?
I have a black card.
Yeah, you have a deck.
Deck. I have a deck, yeah.
Okay. Pull out a black card, and what is it?
It is, here's the church, here's the steeple, open the doors, and there is...
Got it. I got
one,
it.
Jim? Here's the church, here's the steeple, open the doors, and there is...
Batman.
Well, yeah, wow. He's everywhere, man. God damn.
Krista, what you got?
Stephen Hawking talking dirty.
Lee, what you got?
Let's see. The homosexual agenda.
Can you read that one out loud again?
Here's the church, here's the steeple, open the doors, and there is...
Pedophiles.
I'm closing the doors.
And Carrie, what do you got?
Snotsicles.
Snotsicles.
Cold in church.
Right. Carrie, you got the printouts. Pull out a black one.
What's that smell?
What's that smell? I got it. What's that smell?
Oh, that's wrong. That's so wrong.
I thought it was...
I believe that's called engage.
Dan, what do you got?
Used panties.
Oh.
Carrie, what was the question again, or what was the card?
What's that smell?
What's that smell, Keith?
Spontaneous human combustion.
Ooh. Lovely.
Krista, what's that smell?
Nicolas Cage.
Oh. Oh, the toilet.
And Lee, what's that smell?
That would be Natalie Portman.
All actors smell. All right, so replenish your cards, people. So we'll do one. We have two more rounds here. Yep. Krista, what do you have for a black card?
All right, blank. That's how I want to die.
All right. What was the question again?
Blank. That's how I want to die.
Natural selection.
That's how I want to. That's true. I will be at the top of the food chain.
Deal with it, Lee.
Destroying the evidence.
That's how I want to die, yes.
That's probably closer to the truth.
What?
Dan.
Crucifixion.
Oh.
Jesus Complex.
And Keith.
72 Virgins.
That's the one. There you go.
That's so wrong.
And finally, Carrie. So oh, being Canadian. That's how I want.
That's right.
Good answer, eh?
Patriotic.
Hey.
Hey.
All right. And I'll do the last round here because Lee's going after. Lee has the PDF, so. Can't flip over through the back. Do I have black cards here? But here's mine, which is during sex, I like to think about blank. During sex, I like to think about. Let's start with Lee. Lee, during sex, I like to think about.
Well, of course, an M. Night Shyamalan plot twist.
Krista, during sex, I like to think about...
getting abducted by Peter Pan.
Carrie, during sex, I like to think about...
Okay. Switching
to Geico.
You know what that is, eh?
Yes.
Okay.
Is that a euphemism for something?
Government employee insurance company.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Keith, during sex, I like to think about...
dropping a chandelier on your enemies and riding the rope up.
Cool.
That would be awesome.
And finally, Dan, during sex, I like to think about...
I have to do this in my best Eeyore precision.
A lifetime of sadness.
All right, and that's it. That's our round of Cards Against Humanity,
Yay.
Folks. So
I
didn't see anything on the Twitter pop up, but if we did, apologize, we missed that. All you need to do is grab the PDF, download it, or if you happen to have the deck, you can play along with us. So this is what we do. Nice and fun as we wind down the show. We got, 2 more topics, and then we can call it a night. Pretty good panel so far. Pretty good interaction with the people watching.
Yeah, it's okay. That dress thing really derailed us.
The Way Back Machine. This is where we think back, reminisce. 2002.
Ooh, what do we got there?
I can't really remember much of 2002.
What was I doing that year? I had a very boring boyfriend. I'm sure he's fine, but the less I say about that, the better. Well, I could probably say a lot more about it now that I've opened
the door. No, that's okay. We don't need that. the euro becomes the official currency in 12 countries.
Yes.
The creation of the Department of Homeland Security.
That was a terrible idea.
No, it was in 2002. Kmart filed for Chapter 11, and I believe didn't they leave Canada at that point?
Yeah, somewhere on that.
They were the target of 2002.
WorldCom files for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection.
Oh, that was bad news.
WorldCom. Oh, yeah. 2002 was the the Washington, D.C. snipers.
God, I remember that. That was so crazy.
Malboy and all that, yeah.
Yeah.
We were talking about that a couple weeks ago, yeah.
Mars, water was discovered on Mars in 2002.
Very exciting.
Mm.
The Salt Lake City Winter Olympics?
Kelly Clarkson wins first American Idol contest.
Thanks for nothing, yeah. Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah. And propels her skyward.
Did Lee have one?
I was just going to say, a lot of good movies came out that year, like Gangs of New York, Adaptation, Born Identity, About Schmidt, Road to Perdition, For those of you who are eager to watch 50 Shades of Grey, watch this movie instead called Secretary, which is much more realistic as far as BDSM goes. 28 Days Later, 1 hour photo with Robin Williams playing his creepiest role ever.
Oh, that was that was so scary. Mm. Well, like creepy scary.
Yeah. Some of my favorite actors died. Rod Steiger, James Coburn, Richard Harris, Lawrence Tierney, and two of my favorite musicians died. Joe Strummer from The Clash and John Entwistle from The Who.
Yeah.
Mm. Man, that was a rough year.
And it was also rough on the music scene. Popular musicians included Good Charlotte, Puddle of Mud.
Oh, man.
Avril Lavigne, Christina Aguilera, Robbie Williams, Alanis Morissette, Creed.
Oh, my God. Did anything good happen to music in 2002?
No, it all died after the 90s.
Man. Yeah, let me check some Billboard charts here. What do we got? Top songs. Oh, well, you know, it was a bad year. Nickelback, How You Remind Me, was a top song.
Oh, God. Thanks for nothing, Nickelback.
Yeah, I want my Nickelback. Goddamn.
You know, I don't know this other song, but Nelly, Hot In Here, was number 3.
You don't know that song?
You don't know that song?
No, no, not that one. The number 2, which was Ashanti, Foolish. Or, no, I don't know that one. Let's see, Linkin Park had In The End.
Oh, Linkin Park, oh my fuck, that band sucks.
By the way, that's a record for us. It's 10:46 and that's the first F-bomb we've dropped. Pretty good.
Oh, we're doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Enrique Iglesias had a track called Hero.
Like, anything good happen in 2002? I'm looking through the same list now. It's all awful.
Like maybe Pink. The party started.
There was the song, the Hero song with Chad Kroeger and Josie Scott. Was that from a Spider-Man movie? Superhero movie. Yeah, like everything is terrible. Okay, so whenever, wherever Shakira was on there, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Shakira is okay.
Sheryl Crow.
She speaks like 5 languages.
What was the Kelly Clarkson song?
Exactly. A moment like this. That was her. Good. That was her.
Yeah, her moment. Her 15 minutes of fame. Yeah.
Well, actually, she has one of the best pop songs of the last 10 years, but it just came out like 5 years after that.
Kylie Minogue, Can't Get You Out of My Head.
Without Me by Eminem also came out that year.
Oh, that's all right.
Mm. What was popular in TV back then in 2002? Mm-hmm. I'll let you know.
I don't know. I didn't have cable then.
Firefly was in 2002.
What?
Firefly.
I had one title from 2002 to 2004.
X-Files ended in 2002, didn't it?
Yep. It was a 2-hour finale.
Finally put out of its misery. Yeah.
The Dead Zone premiered on USA Networks. The Dead Zone. Yeah, I guess nobody watched it.
Based on the Stephen King book that they did a much superior movie about with Christopher Walken back in the 80s.
The Wire came out in 2002. Monk.
Okay, that's pretty
Monk awesome. Started in 2002.
Sex and the City was going strong in 2002.
CSI Miami, 2002. Yeah!
Take those sunglasses off.
Dr. Phil premiered in 2002.
Thanks for nothing, Oprah.
Jesus wept. Wow.
Well, you know, if I were to go through some of these shows that premiered, like, I don't think we would. Oof.
Rosie O'Donnell had her first, or had her last live episode. Clap for that.
Spin City finished their run. So did Dharma and Greg.
Yeah. No one misses either of those shows. Though I did like Spin City when Michael J. Fox was on it.
A great Canadian classic, Sue Thomas, FBI.
Oh my God.
That was 2002.
That show is so awful.
It says that year The Simpsons changed from cell animation to digital ink and paint.
Whoa.
By the way, I heard the craziest conspiracy theory, oh, you're going to love this, about The Simpsons, where they're saying that, you know the episode where Homer ends up in a coma because he opens up that can of beer that was shaken in the can shaker, and the house blows up in that? The guy was saying that every episode since that one has been Homer living his life in a coma. Because if you look at all the episodes that lead up to that, the stories are, you know, zany, but they're in the realm of normalcy. You know, like Lisa falls in love with, you know, her teacher, or Marge thinks about, you know, having an affair or something like that. But then after that episode, moving forward, it's like, you know, we're going to Australia, and, you know, oh, we go to Mars, you know, he goes to space, all this sort of crazy adventures. Like, that seems to be the one episode which changes everything.
So I thought the conspiracy you were going to talk about was the recent posts that were floating around this week about how The Simpsons are actually located in the Southern Hemisphere.
Yeah, I've heard about that one too, but this one actually makes more sense.
No, I don't think it does.
Always. I think it's just apologetics for incredibly bad and derivative writing in The Simpsons in the last 10, 15 years.
Probably, but it still makes sense.
Yeah, like I only know the first 10 years. I don't know what's happened since then.
Same here. Well, gee, that's we rode that way back machine pretty good. Let's see here. Hey, Todd Smith says on Twitter that Terrapin Beer Company was founded in 2002.
Hey.
And I did enjoy Terrapin beer not too long ago, so yes. Let's do a quick check on comments here, and then we get our last topic, and then we'll start to wind things down for yet another Hangout. Twitter, YouTube, Google+. Let's start with Dan on the YouTube.
Yeah, we got a couple more comments in there. Lori added on to YouTube. Yo, just back from dinner. As Chris would say, theater, and having a glass of Mr. Incredible Irish Red from Bruce, Big Spruce.
Yeah.
Yes. Arthur Donald says, I can never, ever be high enough for that mason jar thing. Smoking Ape says, no comment. Not sure to which part, but yeah, he has no comment.
I hope it's about the dress thing. People need to stop talking about that.
Well, you're the one that's talking about it.
Yeah, you keep bringing it up.
Half an hour ago.
Arthur Donald says, I just polished my Knob Hill off. So I'm hoping Knob Hill
that's
is...
That's bourbon. That's not his, you know.
Okay, good.
It's not 11 yet. Come on.
Okay. GC Storm 1 says, on to a bone shaker.
Oh, my. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's what I got so far. Yep.
Right. And Lori says that she's watching us via Chromecast on her TV.
Hey!
Which is a great experience.
Wait, so our heads must be incredibly large right now.
How big are we? How much of a fever I have?
What are you doing with those Cheetos?
Cheetos. Let's see, Lee, any comments on Avoiding Chores, or is still dead, or are you just closed?
Why do you mock me, Jim?
Well, I don't mock you, I'm just asking, just by the chance.
It's terrible.
Oh, okay, well. And Krista, what do we got going on the Twitter?
Let's see, not much, just Todd's comment about the Terrapin Beer Company.
All right. Well, we got one last topic here, and then we can close it off for another week. We do this every Friday, folks. If you want to check the replay on your Chromecast, wait until 10-15 minutes once we're done. You can watch it. Or if you want to listen to it via podcast, if you're shoveling or doing whatever, check it out on the weekend. Just go to the Avoiding Chores website or do a search for Friday Night Hangout, and you should be able to see the Bear logo and subscribe. Our last one here is a podcast review, and we're going to talk about a brand new podcast network that launched this week, which is basically, it's called
Panoply.
Panoply, which is a piece of armor.
Well, it means a bunch of things, basically. Yeah.
But basically, this is all, well, not all, a chunk of Slate podcasts. A lot of the ones that we've mentioned previously on the review, they're doing the podcast network things, such as what PRX is doing, Radiotopia, Twit, all these groups that are just, you know, packaging a little family of shows, and people give them money or listen to ads. So this is kind of exciting. There's some good podcasts in this list here. So the Money Podcast, The Gist, The Political Gabfest. Not bad. Not bad stuff. I was checking out the roster for the Radiopedia there, the 99% Invisible.
Oh, yeah.
And they're you know, they branched off last year for a podcast network. So they do have another six or seven other podcasts, which I haven't quite listened to any of them on their network. They've switched things around because I think they had a much different lineup last time I checked 6 months ago. So, but I guess the question is, do you feel like these networks are like? Do you feel like people are figuring out this podcast model?
Well, I mean, I think if you're trying to figure out how to monetize it, going with a network is probably the most straightforward way to access advertisers and sponsors and those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Podcast One does very well with that.
Yeah,
I mean they've been making their bank on like talk radio podcast, and they've got a lot of like ex pro wrestlers and stuff doing podcasts and stuff like that now. Very, very popular. So.
And apparently, Halifax is going to get a brand new podcast tomorrow. But we're not allowed to know where to subscribe or look for it. So it's going to be a mystery.
Oh, well, that's a good way to promote your podcast. Hey, you can't find us.
But has it been anything that you guys listened to that you you enjoyed in terms of podcast or any other streaming media?
Well, one of the podcasts I recently reviewed was the Internet Outrage Machine. Just basically, they take on topics that are creating outrage in the webosphere, blogosphere, whatever you want to say. Yeah, I know you lost your idea. You're too slow. But they were talking about the whole Daily Show situation with Jessica Williams, who has actually come out and said that she feels underqualified to do the job, just simply because of her her lack of experience in just dealing with that segment of the show, being able to host that. And I guess there's another big stink which came up in the Internet Outrage Machine of a writer by the name of Esther Bloom.
Yeah.
Who is saying that, you know, no, you just need to get a pep talk from other female activists or black activists or whomever, just because you just need the pep talk. And then Jessica Williams came out with this, I don't want to say tirade, but...
No, she appropriately, yes, and respectfully schooled that woman in how she had agency and that she was making a choice, and that she recognized her place in the world, and it's not her time.
Yeah.
And it was really insulting of this woman to go like, oh, you're just not confident enough. Because if you've seen Jessica Williams on The Daily Show, you know she does not lack for confidence. She is fantastic, and I'm one of these people that think she would be a fantastic host. But if she says, you know, at 25 she's too young to do it, then I accept that. That's her choice.
Like, one of her messages says, also, don't call me a victim. How can you call me a victim for making a choice for myself? I'm sorry, but how?
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
What time is it? Is it 11 o'clock yet? Oh, no, wait. F that noise.
Yeah. Go ahead. It's 11 o'clock somewhere in the world.
It just sounds like the person that was giving advice wanted to attach whatever little pet cos she probably had to to her and ride it, you know. So.
Exactly.
Ridiculous.
So that was just another plug for the Internet Outrage Machine. Quite enjoyed.
All right, sounds good. Anybody else got anything they wanted to plug in terms of
podcasts? I listened to some NPR podcasts this week that went through they went through and did a weekly summary of Parks and Rec as it kind of worked its way to its finale, which was this week. And it was interesting because every week they would bring in an expert they had two NPR people, and then they would bring in an outside expert that was an expert in like municipal land acquisition or like American presidents. And so that was kind of like a fun way to do what could be a very rote TV review podcast. So I really liked that idea, even though the podcasts themselves were only like, okay.
All right, sounds good. Anybody else? Keith, Carrie, you guys got anything? No.
All right.
Well, with that, that's it. That's another hangout in the can. Thanks to the panel. It was a good discussion tonight. Thanks for everybody who's watching. A lot of people stuck around, so thank you very much for that. Again, replay 10-15 minutes from now once we're done, and the podcast version on the weekend. So, with that...
You guys should, like, sign up now to, like, bring me ginger ale and, like, stuff that I need for my convalescence.
For your cough. Get some Buckley's.
Oh. Well, as long as you clear your sidewalk first.
I can't get out there. Everything is so awful. You have no idea.
I'll tie something to a pigeon and send it on its way. So.
Can it open a bottle of ginger ale? That is my main priority right now.
We'll establish zip lines between your window and somewhere else. All right. Thanks a lot, panel. Thanks a lot, people watching. We'll catch you guys on Friday. Krista, what's our sign-off?
Good meeting!
Good meeting.
Good meeting.
Good meeting.
Good hangout.